Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome everybody to the show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Thanking God for another day of being here. You guys all know that the news can show you any single day can be a short one, so we're thanking God for an opportunity to be assembled here once again. To Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 KSFM Radio in New York City, currently with iSlowRadio.com. You can hear Barry do his thing every Saturday from 7 to 10 p.m. Again on Sundays, from 6 to 10 p.m. And when he's not doing that, ladies and gentlemen, he is gracing you with the best of live R&B events in the best of venues as the CEO of Track One Entertainment. So if you want to know how to get involved with Barry's next event, head over to trackoneentertainment.web.com. Click on anything you see and see how you can be a part of it, all right? Heading over to thanking my team, Lady Diamond, Elaine Yeves, and Monster Miles, for all that you guys do on and off the air. Thank you very much. To my starting panelists, Patrick Irvine, Altariq Atkins, Sarah Jenkins, Professor Carlton Jones, Kim Milton, Erica Talbert, Darlene, and Nas, all of you guys that have been joining me in with the discussions, thank you all very much for your impeccable input. And I want to thank you for all that you do in your individual communities as well. Thanking all of my social media groups, Lord, the full of you that's joined me on the Edge Listening Lounge with Katie Barnett, everywhere with Carla James, Mark Pittman with the Real World Black News and Discussions Group and the Black History Suppressed Group, Patrick Irvine with the Urban Intellectuals Group, Professor Carlton Jones with the What About Us Group, Marvin Young with the Capitalist N Group. When it thinks of Black Love and Conversations, Book Club Edition, and if I miss anybody, just chalk it down to the fact that I'm just getting over a couple of bits of the flu. So thanks to all of you for what you do on and off the air. Tonight, we're going to preempt the part two of yesterday's series, which we will get back to this week, ladies and gentlemen, but there is a little bit of a very important issue that we have got to address. And today we're going to actually do a two-part series on that. And that is what we're going to be calling Be a Man About It. Today is part one. And part one's subtitle is Up in Silence, Scream and Rage. And we're going to be speaking on the ill effects of that age-old society teaching about what a real man means and how it affects men on the inside, which exponentially affects society and the people that they're with in a very negative and troubling fashion. And tonight we're going to be touching specifically on the effects of that type of teaching to male sexual rape victims, okay? Criminals that have preyed on young boys or men in their lifetime, and the fact that men are taught not to speak about it. So how does it affect them? That's what we're going to be talking about today. Tonight we're going to be going out with Kelly Price and Tired. We'll be back after her, a word from our sponsors, to get this party on the road. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Never hold again, old drama. Liar. Tired of the back and forth. Liar. Tired of in and out the court.
Like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, Attorneys at Law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with K.D. Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com on The Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more on The Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with K.D. Barnett and friends. I'm your host, K.D. Barnett, and tonight we are going to be discussing Be a Man About It. Part one today is focusing on the effects of how society perceives or teaches men to be, quote, unquote, real men, and how that affects our men. Now, tonight we're speaking about a specific part of men, and that is those men that have suffered some sort of sexual on sexual crimes, incest, molestation, rape, and what the effects of teaching these men what men should act like affects, how it affects them. So let's get started. Rape, sexual violation, sexual assault, molestation, incest for a woman, which everybody pretty much refers or actually thinks of when they think of these things, are horrible trauma on more levels than just the actual act itself. You know, far beyond the physical bruises, the black eyes, the bleeding, the cuts that you may see, it tears a person apart on the inside to the point where it affects all of their adult decisions, all of their exponential actions, how they believe in themselves, how they deal with relationships, how they trust people, how they act, what kind of temperament they'll have. And this can go on for a long time to the point where massive therapy could be needed, or it can turn them into other things, such as a serial killer. It could cause them to repeat this bad sexual conduct on to people that they love. Matter of fact, incest is one of the things that can remove the sacred bond or the privacy act in a person's mind to their child or to their relative. It removes the barrier of the blood relation to sex in their mind. It becomes a matter of I want to hurt the person that hurt me. So they feel that they need to control others. It leads to bullying, so many things it leads to. Now, that's for a woman. Now, imagine that all of this took place where a man, somebody that since the day he could walk, there was some man in his life telling him that if you got a cut, stop crying. Don't need a Band-Aid. Suck it up. Be a man about it. Take it like a man. All of these phrases that have been said for years really equate into the mind of you don't have the right to buckle down and cry or be hurt or react to horrible situations the way God put in you to react, hurt, crying, needing a hug, needing to be consoled or comforted. Because you're a man, you're supposed to do all of that. And I would like to know how I can find the first person who began that hogwash so that I could show him what type of trauma and horror he put out to those people who grew up believing that. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some codes of behavior for both men and women. But never to the point where anything about being a man or a woman removed your right to be a human being. If your son or daughter was murdered, you're not supposed to cry because you're a man, or you're not supposed to grieve as long as the mother would. You're supposed to be able to suck it up and put your pain aside so that you can take on the pain for someone else. That's garbage. Let's talk about these men who are supposed to be big, built, muscle-bound guys that somehow, some way, something happened in their past when they weren't big, muscle-bound men, when they were little children, or when they were young teens, when some bigger person who knew better, who had a mental advantage, coerced them or forced them physically to subdue to them, either to perform a sexual act on them or to get a sexual act performed on the child. And this person didn't like the way it felt violated, felt hurt, and went to tell someone else. And Lord knows if he told one of these society-bound men about what took place, either A, it would be keep it to yourself because that would be something people will laugh at, or what are you upset about? That's not something that happens to a man. Men don't get raped. Let's take a real good minute to sit down and think about the message to men across the world equates to when it comes down to something such as rape. Somebody that held your child down when they were 8 or 9 or 13, when at 13 or 14 or even 15, they felt like they should have been able to control it. The blame that a victim feels when they were subdued or overtaken. The blame that comes from this. The shame they already put upon themselves for having had something like that happen. Because Lord knows, whatever took place during the attack itself may have been something that person would have never thought of doing on their own, or didn't like the way it felt, or could think about what it must have looked like when it happened to them. And somebody either that they trusted and knew or didn't know at all was able to take a very intimate part of them and use it any which way they felt, and then discard them or keep them to the point where, all right, there are plenty of people that attack. And you know what? Just the shame of the act itself or the audacity of the act itself wasn't enough. Some of them need to take a souvenir. Some of them need to cut you and leave something behind and leave their mark on you. Some of them don't stop bothering you after that happens. Some of them realize that they were wrong or knew they were wrong all along, and when the act is over, figure they have to watch you now to make sure you never tell, so now they've got to terrorize you completely. Imagine that happening to a young child and a child that's told you're not allowed to feel anything about this. Because the shame would be on you. How dare you do something like that? How dare anyone tell a person that because their biological makeup, because their anatomical makeup calls them a male, not a female, that they're not entitled to feelings that come with it. That the tear ducts God put in their eyes are not allowed to, the tears that come from it, to react to something. That they're not allowed to have emotion. That if it was a female especially that violated you, that should be something you're smiling about. Put it in your black book of acquisition. Pound on your chest because, bro, you're only 11? And these men grow up holding this secret because that's what society and anybody they spoke to told them to do. And Lord knows if you tell a cop, cops don't like to look at male rape as something to investigate. They find that hard to believe. Society on the whole has sexualized women anyway, so that's supposed to be the ultimate prize that a man's supposed to go out and achieve. So what? You didn't ask for it. So what? You weren't involved with it. So what? So what? You maybe didn't realize that you really meant to say yes when you said no. Isn't that the same type of crime that they say for a woman? Don't they say that in every single aspect of a woman's time with another person, she has the right to say no, even if you're butt naked, even if he's rock hard and she's wet, even if she is tingling and her nipples are hard, if she says no at the last minute, he needs to stop and that's it? Why is that any different for a male because he's a man or because he's a boy? The twisted cross wires of our society has got to change. These men are growing up not able to love and cherish women in their life. These men are growing up pissed off with the memories that they flash through their head that they can't tell anybody about because society, the people that's supposed to help them, law enforcement officials, their peers, people in their families, old timers, are all telling this person that what happened to him was not a problem. But these same people will be willing to pull a lynch mob or an axe mob to go find a guy that raped their daughter. Standards have got to stop. These men are growing up and they're becoming serial killers who cannot cherish a woman or give a damn about another human being because nobody gave a damn about them. They've been feeling inadequate all their life, so they overcompensate either by trying to overachieve something and stress themselves to death, or they're going out there to beat somebody up. They're becoming domestic violence people. They're becoming people who don't want to commit to relationships. They're becoming people who are womanizing, or they're growing up to become homosexual because that's all they knew. They're becoming rapists, pimps, child pornographers, because why should they feel that there's any type of lines in the way when they were little at that age, nobody felt that somebody crossed the line with them? What about grown men that this happens to? Oh, he's the laughing stock of the century, absolutely for sure. He's the laughing stock because now he's grown and sex should be just a natural thing for him. How about the fact that maybe there are some men in life who feel just like a woman, that sex is something that should be a mutual consent, something that he selected, something that he felt was an act he wanted to delve in for his own purposes. Maybe the woman that attacked him wasn't somebody he would have picked. How about if that woman was carrying the disease because she's done this to everybody else? Who gave society the right to obliterate a man's right to feel, react, be traumatized, have issues when something like this takes place? Who was it that had the right to judge what real men and real women meant? Who gave that one person the right to start this trend? What law, what society said that men cannot grieve, that men do not need to treat their bleeding cuts, that men don't need to kiss their sons or hug their sons or show affection? That the legacy to pass on is one of, you know, battling dragons, and if you should get burned up, that's the honor in it. Drag racing a car, and if you should be crashed to death, that's the honor in it. You went down fighting. You went down like a man. What the hell is the definition of like a real man? If it's not a person who can be a real human. How are you passing this message on to your own sons, to their sons, to their sons' sons? To repeat the vicious legacy of bullshit all over again. That you're continuously breeding violence and anger from violence and control and lack of respect and human violation and serial killers and more imprisonment and more violent acts and more predators over and over and over again for the sake of some twisted code of honor that calls it a real man's world. These men are walking around worse than women victims because they have to deal with the most horrifying, disgusting, sense of shame and violation, sense of weakness, sense of self-esteem issues, sense of feeling stupid, of blaming themselves, of wondering what about them was different from everyone else, that they had to be a target, and they have no one they can speak to. No one they can release this anger with. No one to show them that they were not the people to be ashamed, that the people who did this to them should be ashamed, should be prosecuted, that the persecution they're putting upon themselves should be on the people who caused them to be in that position. We have another cycle of victimization in the people who are supposed to be the protectors of the world. What happens then? When you sit back and you start to blame someone for the way our children are turning out, for the way our men are acting, for the way relationships can't form and flourish anymore, for the fact that crime rates are going higher and higher in sexual deviancy, that our teens are no longer understanding what it means to cherish a relationship or to understand that their bodies are precious and not something that's up for the first highest grabber. Start looking back and wondering, where did it all come from? Because those teens are going to be adults one day. And their parents were kids who became teens who became adults one day. And everybody has a beginning. So exactly what is it that truly constitutes what a real man is, if a real man can't also be a human being and be able to learn how to balance both sides of himself and deal with stuff? Sexual deviancy, sexual crime, sexual attack, sexual assault is traumatizing to both sides of the gender fence. And society teaching men that you must be strong, never soft. Take it like a man. Suck it up. Be a man about it. What do you mean you were raped by a woman? No such thing. Forcing them to pretend they're laughing when they're really crying inside. And where is the world who's supposed to protect them? Where's their parents telling them it's something different? Where is the village of men trying to tell them how to deal with it so they don't become the very people that these men claim to want to raise differently? So they know how to respect a woman and respect another person. So they know how to love themselves so that they can freely love others. So that they can understand the sacred need to protect their offspring and not rape them like they were raped by somebody in their family. Be a man about it. Suck it up. What you're still doing crying? What are those tears? Take it like a man. Is that what you think was the proper phrase for you to say when the child was getting raped? As a boy child, I had the horrific experience of listening to someone who had been molested for years on end by an uncle that everybody thought was a happy man, was a good man, made everybody laugh. He was nothing but sweet to everyone. He was generous with everyone. But he had a dark side. He had a love for little boys, and he could not stop at relatives. And this one nephew of his had a self-esteem issue. He wasn't very popular in school. He wasn't athletic. He wasn't a good-looking kid right off the bat. I mean, he dealt with all of the puberty curses of teenagehood. He had zits time. He wore glasses that weren't very fashionable. Okay. He wore glasses. He was skinny. He wasn't very built. He loved to read and really cultivate his educational side, so he wasn't very hip with the girls either. So this uncle became his mentor, became his cheerleader, and one day became his rapist. And when the uncle realized that he couldn't kill the kid, because you know what? A lot of questions would come up. He started to taunt the kid forever, pretty much till the kid got old enough to speak about it at the age of 40. And at 40 years old, when he finally came forward to advocate for another child that was about to commit suicide because of going through the same thing, somebody his age in this group came forth and said, oh, so you did what? You got raped in the ass too? So you must be a faggot too. And to that dumbass, I'm going to say very loud and clear, who the hell are you to be such a lowlife in this world? How dare someone ridicule this victim over and over again after he's come forth to help another victim stop themselves from ending their lives? And some ignorant garbage like that comes out of this person's mouth, which more than likely, if you delve into that person's life, I can guarantee you he went through the same thing. So let me say this to you, men. I'm a female survivor of rape and incest. And I could tell you it's not an easy battle. You guys have an added unique characteristic to being men where at least if I had chosen to at one point, I would have had someone I could talk to, which I did later on. I can't begin to understand from a man's point of view what it means to be blocked from your own assistance. I can get that part. But I do understand what it feels like when you feel you're going through something and no one can understand, or you feel that there's no one you can trust to help you through it. I can understand the shame of it, feeling that it was your fault. Or what about you is puts a target on your head where people, you know, consider you a target to go after for something like this. I can understand the time where you ask God, was he really up there? Because why would he allow something this horrible to happen? But I'm going to say this to you. From a woman's standpoint, it takes a real man to talk about something like that. It takes a real person to be able to be comfortable with embracing the side of his life that society says is too feminine or too soft for a guy, a real man, to deal with. But I do encourage you to find somebody who maybe has nothing to do with you, who's not connected to you in some personal way, and get help before you turn out to be just like the person who hurt you. Get to the point of understanding that you are a victim and they are the trash. Understand that the biggest successes start with the hardest first step. And along the way, you're going to get a lot of garbage. But all you got to do is supply yourselves with the proverbial hefty bag of the broom and the dustpan, sweep up that garbage, and dump it as you go. Because one day you're going to want a family so that you can have the chance to protect one person from going through a life you went through. You're going to be able to give yourself into another person, or you're going to find something that's going to turn your experience into something that somebody else could be helped by. There's no shame in being victimized. There should be a shame in the person who victimized you. There's a shame in the people who allowed the stupid belief of taking what's yours, taking control, taking charge. You're going to let her talk like that to you? You're going to say no to me? Only to have something get out of hand and become a crime, but you were a real man when you went down. There was nothing real about a man that took a little boy's virginity. There was nothing real about a person that traumatized a child. There's nothing real about a person that tells you to lay back and take it and shut up about it. Those people are the failures. Society that allowed them to continue to be those failures are the failures. Not finding a way to address this in a positive manner, or I should say in a progressive manner for you, is your failure. It will consume you and destroy you. It will poison everything that happens for you later. It will poison any way you think. It will blacken your mind to opening up and seeing how you can trust other people. You will see an enemy in everyone. You will see a need to brace yourself and protect yourself and hurt someone that may not deserve to be hurt before they can possibly hurt you. And that's no way to live. You might as well be right back under your abuser's hand. Be a man about it. Suck it up. Take it like a man. Those people saying that aren't even real men, and they need to understand what those phrases truly mean. To those of you men that are out there that are listening, and I know there's a couple of you that have reached out to me, let me say this to you. Forgive yourself and forgive them. Not for them. It's not about them. It's about you. The longer that you let it fester, the longer you're under their control. And after you do that, you pretend it wasn't you for a minute and pretend it wasn't a boy. Because apparently society can embrace the trauma of rape a lot quickly, a lot more quickly, when there's a female victim involved. Even though many times the claims of rape weren't so, the law jumps to her defense in a minute. Now let's pretend that you were looking at your situation, an outside view. You read it on the news, you heard about it, you saw the victim crying, something, and it was a female. And you are one of those people that are able to accept the trauma, horror, and the outrage of rape through that female victim's eyes. How did you feel about that assailant, even before the truth came out, or even before the case was resolved? However you felt about that rapist when it was when they were named or when they were accused, you take those feelings and then bring it back to your case, and you make sure you place those feelings at your abuser's feet, because that's where it belongs. Not a PhD in any type of psychology. I'm a person walking. That same walk. Been there. Repeatedly. Still deal with a lot of things every now and then that I find myself being overprotective of my children to that point. But I did learn to place the failure, the title of trash, the criminal title, on the porch that it belongs on. Any person that needs to force a person to make them commit to an act they wouldn't have chosen on their own free will is a damn coward, no matter how big they are, no matter how powerful they are, no matter what their status is, no matter what their richness is, they're cowards and garbage. To make someone submit to an act that's going to destroy their minds, their feelings of self-worth, destroy their ability to move forward, to trust people, to love, to feel that they can be loved or deserve to be loved. If you weren't the victim and you saw that person in another case, how would you feel of them? And if that's the way you would feel about them, then why on earth would you continue to feel that you should feel the same way about yourself? Any one of you that want to share that story, do not feel ashamed. You can call this forum tonight at 347-327-9967. You must press 1, or I do not know that you want to speak. Share your story or someone that you know, some words of encouragement. Ask a question if you want to, whatever the case may be. But we as a community, as a nation, as a village, we have got to end this horrible, vicious cycle of confused men, of allowing these predators to get away with stuff like this, because everybody is counting on the victim's fear of looking bad to some crappy image that was put out there and projected by some idiot who stood there one day and probably was feeling bad about himself, so he created this garbage and allowed generations after generation after generation to teach the same twisted, garbled mess to another generation of men. To a judicial system that sits there, and while they claim to frown down and not tolerate things of this nature, refuses to accept this as a crime when it's done against men. Forcing a whole breed of men to suffer in silence but scream at the world in rage through serial killing, through serial raping, through incest repeating, through molesting another person, through going out there and having hair trigger reactions to the slightest touch that somebody puts on them. Die for paranoid mistrust. They may not have said their secret. They may not have told it. But they damn sure are letting you know something happened in a worse way. Going to take a little break, ladies and gentlemen. When I get back, I'll continue. In the meantime, once again, those of you that are new, the number to call here is 347-327-9967. You must press 1 if you want to speak because I won't know and I won't open your mic beforehand. So until then, just hang with me. I'll be back in about 5 minutes. Don't go away. Be right back.
I am a mountain, I am a tall tree, oh, I am a swift wind, sweeping the country. I am a river, down in the valley, oh, I am a vision, and I can see clearly. Is anybody like you? I am. Stand up tall, I'm gonna say some stories. I'm that star up in the sky, from that mountain peak up high. Hey, I made it, I'm the world's greatest. And I'm that little bit of hope, when my back's against the ropes. I can feel it, I'm the world's greatest. An eagle, oh, I am a lion, down in the jungle. I am a marching band, I am the people, oh, I am a heaven hand, I am a hero. If anybody asks you who I am, just stand up tall, look them in the face and say, that star up in the sky, from that mountain peak up high. Hey, I made it, and the world's greatest. And I'm that little bit of hope, when my back's against the ropes. I can feel it, and the world's greatest.
In the ring of light,
I'll
reign love.
I will reign,
and the world will know that I can.
That I made it.
I'm the world's greatest.
From that little
bit, I'm that little bit.
Oh yeah, yeah. I can
feel it,
feel it.
I'm the world's greatest.
I'm not a
Thank you.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Okay, and we are in the middle of discussing the title, the first of a two-part series on Be a Man About It. Part one today is Suffering, Silence, Screaming, Rage. We are speaking about the ill effects of that long-term, age-old teaching to our men about the fact that they got to be tough, they got to be strong, they can't be soft. And today we're speaking on how one particular group of men are affected by this teaching, and that is male victims, actually, of sexual crime, and how this rule applies to the way they handle it. Is it something that the rule itself over the span of time has caused men to react this way, or is it other things? And how can we make changes to that? Because this is something that it doesn't just stop with these men dealing with a shameful secret. These men are manifesting this anger into other ways. They're becoming serial killers. The sacred bond of father and child or father and relative or relatives are removed because as children they were molested, victims of incest. They're becoming rapists. They're becoming abusers. It's hard for them to trust and love because of this. They're feeling unworthy. They're becoming bullies. So does society's role of what the rules of being a real man, quote, unquote, are, affect the way these men react? Is it causing a bigger problem, and how do we change it? Wow, I actually have a couple of people calling in. Let me bring in our first panelist. Welcome to the show, Corey Lamina.
Good evening, KD. This is Al Tariq from Dolphin.
Hey, Al, I have somebody behind you. Just hang on 1 minute and you'll have the mic first. Welcome to the show, Corey Lamina.
Okay, good. This is Joe.
Hey, Joe. All right, we'll have my government.
Okay.
All right, obviously, the effects of the age-old teaching that has been passed down from generation to generation about men not being able to react as a woman would. In particular tonight, I'm touching on the way that it affects survivors, male survivors of sexual abuse. Do you feel that being taught or society's image of what a real man is affects the way these men react, and how do we change it? That's the first step.
What's all that feedback?
Say that again?
It's a lot of feedback now.
Yeah, that's from my line. If it gets really bad, let me know.
Okay, well, I'm not hearing it, so, let me know, guys. I'm not hearing it on my end. Actually, just let Joe know if you can hear it, okay? So what's your take on that?
Well, the thing is, and this is something that I had learned to speak and have learned, and I remember something that Bruce Lee said, and how he was saying you need to be flexible like a willow tree, you know, because although strong winds come, when they come, the tree is strong enough, long as it's not that type of overpowering wind that can uproot it. They bend with it, you know, and they come back after, you know, and he was saying that you had to be more of a flexible person, otherwise saying balance. That teaching of men don't cry and all that mess right there, that wasn't actually taught, you know, as far as African culture. That wasn't a thing that was taught to us like that. You know, we were more, I believe, in tune with our overall feelings because tear ducts and everything are natural, which is common sense. That is something that people have made up, and you notice when you hold things in and stuff like that, a lot of times, even if it's not tears, you can hold in certain things, a rage and stuff like that, pent up things that may have happened to you, you know, and then if you don't have an outlet for it to come out, which tears are, whether it's the tears of joy or it's the tears of sadness or when you get angry, it's an outlet. But people have taught, you know, that, no, a man doesn't cry and all this stuff like that. No, you don't just bust out and hiss all the time. But if it's something that's disturbing you like that, you know, and you feeling that, then that's what tears are for, to release those type of toxins. You know, those type of, as you could say in that case, when it's bad things, negative toxins. You know, you can be a tough person. Everyone has to be tough when it comes to something, even a woman, because that's what deals with the reality of struggle. When we were born, when we turned out of our father and went into our mother, as sperm, we were tough. We were fighting to be the toughest of the tough. And the result was that one of us came out, and it's those people who are on the panel and speaking tonight. And that was because of a certain struggle. We were always tough, but at the same time, if you look at the nature of how we made, we come from something that's extra soft and wet at that, slimy. So it's the time for everything. But man teaches imbalance in the culture, especially in the culture of, you know, the West. So that's why I like a lot of philosophies and stuff that come from the East, because they're more in tune as far as spiritual things connected with the physical. You know, they're more wiser when it comes to that. We're about more material things and latching on to material things. You know, and those things being the bigger things and us being tough and bravado and all that stuff like that, you know, it's a time for it, but it's a time for you to be more flexible with your feminine side, because we are made from masculine and feminine principles. You know, we all have those certain chromosomes and everything within us. You know, so, you know, it's just sad how things come up and people try to make you so rough and rugged, you know, because even with certain soldiers are told to be tough, but when it comes time to action, you have ones that are tougher than others. You have ones that are scared as hell, but they get out there and do what they have to do because of the fact that they are fighting for their lives. So in that part about the kids coming up that way, you know, we need to teach them balance. But the children who get abused, you know, and sexually abused, thank God that haven't happened to me. But I've been around people where they told stories of that and how it made them feel inadequate, how they hated it, how that they resented the person who was doing it. You know, I've even seen one time where one guy was mixed up, and he said to the point that he said his own auntie was doing it to him. And he said he felt ashamed when he finally brought it out in front of the people in the group setting. And he said, I felt ashamed now. He said, but at the time when all that was going on, he said, I felt that it was funny and stuff. He said, but I actually liked it. You know, and it was sickening because he was young and it was somebody in his own family. You know, so that can really mess your psyche up. You know, so if you're out here and you're doing that in any form to any child or adult when you're doing that thing like that, but I think you're talking about children now. But if you're doing that to children, then you are just a beast. And we live in... Hello?
I'm asking you
to
feedback.
Yes, yeah, see, we live in what Martin Luther King said, though, and it's true to this day, and it's been before his time, way before. We live in a sick society, so these are the reasons why things like this happen. This society in which we live here has the highest crime rate, the highest incarceration rate, in everything in the world. So that shows you that we have dire problems here. And that's not just a black thing. It's a human thing. It's a people thing. You know, and with that, I yield the mic.
Okay. I actually was hearing the feedback. That's what I was saying. Okay, Joe, what's your take, honey?
Well, I'm basically agreeing with him. To answer your question more pointedly, we are, as men, are taught you have to be strong and you can't fail, basically. So if you feel at one time or another that you are not adhering to that particular principle, that if you fail at a task, if you fail to be to achieve your goal, let's say you wanted to be on the football team, basketball team, baseball team, and you didn't do it, you felt like a failure, you didn't live up to the certain standards that were taught to you by the society that you live in, and in the society we live in today, it's America. So you're also taught, as men, do not cry. Big boys don't cry, like the song says. So if you show your vulnerability, then you're showing that you're weak. If you're showing that you're weak, then you become prey. So it's a type of process which we internalize as men, and it affects our relationships, it affects the way that we work, it affects our self-esteem. And this idea, this is why I've been railing against trying to put men into that square peg, into that round hole type of thing, where men are being defined as real men. As far as I'm concerned, a real man is somebody who, if you're born a man, then if you act as a responsible human being, if you don't bother other people, then you're a man. Okay? But we're all taught when we're kids that to be a real man, you should be part Superman and part Batman. You've got to get the girl on the first date or the second date, or you've got to get the job, the right job, 2 minutes after you graduate from college, or you're a failure, or you should be married by the time you're 11 years old, or you're not or you're a failure. So there are certain standards that are out there which are set for men, which are not really set for women. See, a woman can fail, but people will come to her aid. You know, they'll rally around her. If a man fails, he's considered a loser. So we know this, you know, either consciously or subliminally. And so we act accordingly. And if we fail too often, we feel shame, like you were talking about, Katie. And if we feel enough shame, then we take it out on people, on innocent people. We take it out on bosses who didn't do anything against us. We take it out against girls that didn't do anything against us. We take it out against parents and friends that didn't do squat against us, because we have low self-esteem. So that's the reason why, again, I don't like this idea of what the definition of a real man is. Now, what the solution is that there are books out there that you can read. Two books which come to mind, and there's one by Goldberg, is called The Hazards of Being Male. And there's another book by Warren Farrell. I forget the title of it. But it talks about the burden of being a man, about the pressures that are put on our shoulders to try to conform, to try to be, again, half Batman, half Superman. And if you don't live up to those particular standards, you feel like a failure. And if you feel like a failure, as I've already described, then you feel ashamed, you have bad self-esteem, you take it out on other people, and then you continue with the vicious cycle. So I happen to like this particular topic. I wish it was presented more often on other shows, you know, because it really affects the dating relationships that men and women have. And I think to solve it is that, as the caller had said, like the family should teach your boys that it's okay to be soft. Not to be an incompetent. But suppose you fail at something and you feel like crying. Well, don't let people see you cry, but go ahead and cry. You know, women can do it, men can do it, you know. If you feel inadequate, you have to examine, do I really feel inadequate because I was incompetent, or am I feeling inadequate because the bar was set too high? So these are the kind of things that we can do to take a look at our situation and see if there's a remedy for it, or if these particular mores which we're taught are full of shit. And I think they are full of shit. And I'm finished.
Yeah, well, both of you men said some really, really intense thing. And I think what I like most is that when I have these topics, actually men come forward on my show a lot more than women do to acknowledge, I guess, their, for lack of a better word, shortcomings. Now, in this respect, I spoke earlier, I guess if you were listening, and Joe, you were with me on that, but I'm a survivor of rape and incest, okay? I'm a survivor of being molested. So I do know, I can understand from that aspect, the shame, the fear of speaking, the distrust for other people, the rage that you want to put out on people. I know I can react to certain things where I feel like somebody is trying to deem me inferior in some way.
Mm-hmm.
I made promises to myself that never again would somebody put me in a position to ever feel helpless. You know, things to that effect. I know that in my parenting, I'm overprotective
mm-hmm.
of my children. I'm very mindful of signs of people that are not on the level, per se. On the level, meaning like, you know, the affection being shown is more than innocent affection. So I'm on alert with that. There's a lot of things. Now, I can understand all of that as being a universal victim. But men, and I've seen it too often, how this damages the way a man is. Now, not even just this. I'm not going to even say just this. That's the wrong way to say it. Men on a whole have such a way of, like you said, reacting to, I can't fulfill my perceived duties. So they're not given the luxury of go talk it out with a therapist, go to somebody and lean on their shoulders. They're supposed to be the shoulders. And that's absolute bullshit. It's crap. Because men are human beings. I think also another part of the solution should be that men should be more physically affectionate with their sons. And what I mean by that is hugging. I do mean a kiss on the cheek or something to that effect. This crap that men have been taught for years that, like you said, got to get the girl on the first date. You know, got to get out there and get the right job. You got to be married. There's another aspect, which actually comes up on tomorrow's segment, but where the rules of a real man, as I said, putting them in quotations, is if you can't conceive a child.
Mm-hmm.
If you were born with low motility in your sperm, or there's some sort of medical reason or medical illness going on, who gave some old fart the right to say that a man who can't conceive a child is not a man?
Mm-hmm.
And I brought up earlier, and I don't think you were listening in yet, Al Tariq, but I had the privilege of speaking to a group of people, of males, that had either experienced third party the effects of sexual abuse survival by a male that they knew, or they themselves were. Now, there was a child, well, to me, the child is, you know, 17, and had gone through this particular experience, didn't know who to go to. Everybody that he, well, you know, it sort of came up, and then he heard people's feedback, to, oh, that's gay. No way, I would have taken that man, and I would have done this, I would have done that. Oh, if that happened to me, that guy would have walked away with his balls missing or something. No, that's not always the case with sexual assault. There's GHB, there's Flipnol, there's things like that happen that are slipped in drink, rendering you completely useless, and then the next thing you know, you woke up and something happened. Yet there's other situations where you thought you can subdue a person or you can fight back, and that just didn't happen. There's weapons, threats of weapons involved, where at the end of the day, it's either your life or your ego. So when he heard this, he was like, my God, I have nowhere to go. The police, if I tell the police something like this, if I go and talk to a guidance counselor, the whole school's going to know about it. And he really was contemplating on committing suicide. Now, what happened was this particular man in the group had gone through it as a child himself, never spoken about it. And what happened was, to save this boy's life, he came forth. One idiot in his 40s in that group looked at this man with such disdain and turned around and said, oh, wait, so what? Did you get, like, raped in the ass or something? Yo, man, nah. You don't be having, like, tendencies or nothing, right? Like, what kind of...
Well,
I can't...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll wait till you finish. Yeah.
I was going to say, like, what kind of disgusting individual would traumatize a traumatized victim all over again?
Well, that's the way men are trained. Because, again, we've been inculcated with this conditioning. We are not to show weakness, vulnerability of any type. So if we support another man, that might show that we empathize to the point where something might have happened to us, and we don't want other people to know what happened to us. That's the burden of being male. Now, you yourself went through a horrific experience. As you've said, you were a survivor of molestation and rape. But you can freely state that on the air and get some kind of sympathy. If a man states it, especially in today's environment, the environment I hope is changing, but if he says it, right, first off, he's going to get the same kind of reaction as that particular guy you just described.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so men do suffer in silence and scream in rage, and when they scream out of rage, they take it out on somebody. Now, what I think is...
Right, it's detrimental.
Yeah. What I think is sad is that a man should have a woman as his sounding board, as his particular guidance counselor, as a psychiatrist, as his best friend, but most men don't do it, not because they don't know how, but because they know that if they even describe an experience once or twice that has happened to them throughout their lives, just once or twice, the woman that they've chosen to be their woman will not look upon them with favor as they had before. And that's the sad part. If the women were trained to take look upon men as just men upon whom they've bad experiences were visited, and they accepted that, then men and women could get along a lot better.
You know what, Joe? It's funny that you said that, because part of what I was going to say, and since we are in the solution part of my discussion, and Altarik, are you still with me?
He may be getting a sandwich, I guess.
Oh, Al? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, stay with me, dude. One of the solutions is a woman, to have women not so much, you know, just pretty much say this, but women are a big key in the way a man acts. And I will have to say this to you, though, Joe, because a lot of times men say this. Very few men actually try to talk to a woman in their life because of the fact that they are supposed to be the one protecting a woman.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to be the one the woman can come to and cry on their shoulders. So that is another additional aspect or factor to a man's conditioning, and conditional thinking that we're vulnerable. And now here I am, I'm a wolf talking to a woman. Women are the ones that can let a man know, I still think you're a real man. You were not the problem in this. And that is the one thing I think that right now, if America, we can break that cycle. If the world was sent there right now and think of a man speaking about that experience and closing their eyes and picturing how they would feel if it was a girl saying this story about the person who did it to them, what would we think of that person? And how would we feel about the victim speaking up? You understand? And I think that more of us as a village needs to step up too. If we should hear, well, I will say, thankfully, that in this group, that particular jackass that I mentioned earlier, he got ripped a new one by the group that was there.
Oh, okay, cool.
So I don't think he walked around, you know, puffing on his chest, thinking that he did something big when he said what he said. The absolute disgusting audacity of that bastard to say such a thing to a man that came out and did the most brave thing that any real man, quote-unquote, could ever do. We have got to stop telling our sons that hugging their brothers, hugging their fathers, hugging their uncles is a problem. that crying is a problem, as you stated, Joe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay? That saying I'm scared is a problem. That, listen, we read plenty of caveman stories where they went out and they slayed the dragon. You honestly think that those guys weren't scared to death to see some 300-pound thing up there, you know, breathing fire with snake eyes coming at them, wasn't scary to them?
Mm-hmm.
Society has taught men that if you die in battle, it's honor.
Mm-hmm.
If you fought your rapist off but you didn't get taken, it's honor. Society has taught men, keep that to yourself, buddy, because that's something nobody's going to understand.
Yep.
I even knew a couple of people that their sons came and told them, and their male counterparts had said to them, oh, what are you upset about, man? You scored. You scored? Because it was a female that did this to you, you scored?
Yep.
Is that what you teach your sons who raped a girl? You give them what, like an A-plus for creativity when they slip her a Mickey in the drink? Or when they tell her that they love her, but they're really trying to get into her pants? This is what you consider something to put in the little book of credits? Or they even have this guy sit there, and while they're chucking back a few, they want him to tell the details of his trauma, like it's some sort of boys' club event.
Well, men have been told, suck it up.
Exactly. Suck it up. Be a man about it. Take it like a man. Is that exactly what they would have said to that little boy if it was a man holding him down to take his virginity?
Well, there are a lot of men who would say to another man to do that. And there are lots of men who would actually be empathetic, but they're afraid of being empathetic because they're afraid of looking weak.
That's true, too. I've seen men who have internalized the secret also internalize their pain and try to turn it into a vaudeville show in their head so that it's not so bad to deal with. Okay, I've seen that happen. Sort of, I'm going to laugh at myself before the world gets.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised that a lot of violence out here perpetrated by men is a result of their inability to actually take their experiences and scream about it, you know, and talk to somebody about it. Because as you're talking about, they do internalize it. So they feel worthless and they feel that, you know, right around the corner is going to be a next assault against them. So they feel they have to attack the world.
Yes, they do. So, Al Tariq, let me get your take on what solutions could be. What solutions, what can we change to stop breaking this stupid cycle?
Well, you just have to teach people just to be regular people, regular human beings. You can't program them like robots. You know, we're human beings. We're not animals. You know, we're people. And with that, there comes a different range of different types of emotions and everything. You know, we are very simple but complex type of people. You know, to be human is to be a lot of great things, you know, but it can be a lot of bad things too if it's not directed properly. If our energies and stuff are not directed properly. So I would say just, you know, it's like with any child that comes in contact with me, I'm going to be real with them. I'm going to tell them the way how I would see certain things in certain situations and things like that if it takes a moment of embracing them, because they even teach in science, you know, when people pay attention to stuff like that, of how important embracing someone as far as a hug and stuff like that is and what it does to you as far as even health benefits, you know. So there's a lot of mixed up things that we learn, you know, and a lot of things that don't get applied but it's there. The information is there, you know. And I had, it was funny, I just learned that back like in my 20s, like in my mid to late 20s, you know, about what a hug can do, you know, for people and stuff like that, you know. And we must just be able to teach the children, you know, when if it's something that's upsetting you to the point where you need to cry, then cry. I don't give a penny drop or whatever about what somebody's saying about how something about you looks. And that's what I feel that the society as a whole is too caught up in anyway, for the most part. I think we pride ourselves in the image of things and how things look as opposed to how they are or how they really should be. You know, we go by bravado instead of going by what's really heartfelt. You know, we go by ego more than intelligence and common sense. You know, it's a lot of things that we do here and we're not really taught as far as, you know, the scientific and spiritual aspects of things for real. We're taught on a base level, basically. We're not taught on a higher level. You know, that's why I love martial arts and stuff like that, because they go deep to the core. And even when you're being aggressive, and even when you can use violence, which they teach that's the last resort to use, they are teaching you how to be balanced and how to control yourself, how to master yourself. So, you know, in times, it may be it's a time and a place for everything. You know, sometimes you're going to want to cry and you cry. You know, you may not even do it in front of people, but that don't mean that, you know, and if, like for me, I'm in touch with myself. So if something hurts me that bad, and I don't usually bust out like, you know, anything like that, but if it's something at the moment that has really hit home hard, yeah, some tears will come. You know, and I even know how repressing them things feel. When you repress tears, if you ever notice it yourself, when you're fighting off tears, you feel more choked up than when you let them go. If you just look at how you feel when you do it, when you're holding them back and they're trying to come out, it makes you feel even more crazier. Because you're not letting loose what's in you that needs to come out anyway. Mm-hmm. So you're holding back what needs to come out. And at times, tears and stuff like that could be like the principle of inhale and exhale. They need to come. So when it's time for them to come out, they should come. You know?
Absolutely.
If you keep holding stuff back, then eventually, you know, it's going to mess you up more from holding it back. They're letting it out.
That's right.
You know, so I just wish that, you know, society on the whole can teach things better from a more humane perspective and get more in touch with that. Because that's why I think a lot of things all the way around, why people are so violent, you know, and stuff like that, because we're not really in tune with ourselves as human beings, you know. And it's a shame, but you would think that raising animals would be worse than us, but they only do things according to their nature. But we can choose to be, and many of us in this society, we choose to be violent. And I think a lot of that comes because of, you know, people having to repress a lot of feelings, people getting treated unjustly or otherwise, you know, whether it's domestic violence or if it's kids getting raped or sodomized or however. Things have to be put in their proper perspective, you know. We have too much freedom to do a lot of things that's not really the right thing. So as long as we're teaching our kids how to think properly and how to try to act in a certain situation, and we're giving them experiences, and they're healthy experiences, then I think that things would eventually be fine. But the way that I see how things go in society and have been going, you know, it's a lot of things that's really based on the outward, you know, instead of what's really within, you know, because we have done a lot of great things. We sent people to the moon, you know, and but we don't know how to get along with our neighbors. So that shows you a lot of how things are taught wrong as far as what is really in us, as far as our core being or our soul on the whole. And
I never understood how it is that people don't understand that even the greatest of people, kings, you know, business CEOs, you know, multimillionaires, that as big as they are to the world, to the public, they needed help. They needed somebody to lean on. They needed somebody, you know, you ever heard the saying that even a therapist has a therapist?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's everybody has somebody they have to release with. And the thing is how you release is what makes the difference. As women, and I'll say that from a woman's standpoint as well as a victim standpoint, you need help. You need help. It may not be somebody you know, since you know what? If you were a victim of incest, you're not going to trust people you know.
True.
So, what is someone you don't know? Somebody that you'll never see again or who's paid to give a damn for an hour or two of your time and get out what you need to get out. And somebody who's not close to you will have a more effective solution or suggestion of a solution or at least a first step. I think that as a village right now, we have the rights to make sure that our Constitution enforces or expands the rape law to acknowledge that men are victims too. I think society needs to stop putting this garbage in our men's heads or the weight of everything on their shoulders, especially if you want to liberate women to be able to do the things that men can do and women want to take on that role, then by all means, men should not have the same standard or level of bearing on certain things. No man should be told that if there's a... I'm going to give you a real primitive, stupid example, okay? I'm looking at this man with his son in the park, okay? His son falls from the top of one of those little spirally slides that go around. It looks like something that should be in an amusement park. And the kid comes down because apparently kids before him decided that it was cute to put water on that damn slide so they can flip over and hit the cement, okay? This kid flips over. His head hits the pole, okay, and he comes up with a big gash in his elbow. Now, the kid's freaking out because there's blood spurting everywhere, okay, and his father's telling him to suck it up and take it like a man. This ain't nothing, boy. We'll get it together, you know. Are you kidding me?
Well, that's the way society is.
It's something, yes, yes, Joe, yes, you're right.
And you know what? You gave the solution before. Man needs a woman, and women have to change their particular attitudes towards men, and if they don't, then I think men as a whole should just say, well, look, when I need you, and if you're not there to give me the greatest support that I need, then you got to go. So to me, it's a two-pronged solution.
Yep.
You know what, Joe? A victim first needs to love themselves again so that they can appreciate or be able to stand up and make that a non-negotiable standard for them. You know what I mean? I'm saying that because I do understand that. I understand how you can not understand that a person in your life just being there but not moving with you or not, like you said, moving forward with you, if you can't get past your own victimization and put that bastard in their place and put the garbage of that title in their lap, you're never going to be able to embrace anybody who would do that. Because I think what I need to tell the men of America that's gone through this, or the men all over the world who are listening, listen very carefully. Women are a lot more acceptable of a man's trauma than a man is of a man's trauma. But you men have to understand that when it comes to a woman, you have got to lay down the ego sword and allow us to be that for you. Now, I've had people in my life that loved me or wanted to love me beyond my own crap. And all I could see was what I felt like, or feel was what I felt like, or what I envisioned I must look like with people knowing the details of what took place. That is a process. And for men of the world, it's a process anyway. All of these cultures that teach their children to bond themselves at 12 for honor, that by 12 they should be married with sheep and all this other stuff. What is that telling you? You've robbed them of a majority of their childhood. Society over here in the civilized world is telling your 17-year-old, you don't have parents that you got to listen to. But parents, they're not 18 yet. You're a man, so we don't consider you to be somebody who doesn't know what they're doing, what would make this type of a mistake. So guess what? You're accountable. Okay, the fact that there are children that are in fourth grade, third grade, and second grade thinking that it's cute to pull down somebody's aunt as a joke or a bullying tactic really needs to have people get into the mindset of this kid. This is somebody's personal person. This is their personal space. This is their personal right to be private. Where does somebody get off thinking that it's a joke? That it's a joke, okay? To pull down someone's pants and expose their body parts for the world to see at such a young age. This is where a lot of the things can be attacked from a preventative standpoint. And Joe, you couldn't have said anything any bigger with men being unable to deal with their vulnerable points. And everybody has them.
Well, all men do. Because we've all gone through some sort of, if not trauma, at least a series of bad experiences in our lives. Because growing up is a bitch, you know.
And you know what? Men have to stop doing that too. And society has to stop making men say that. Stop trying to use a different adjective for what the hell it is. If you were raped, it's a trauma. If you were molested, it's a trauma. Let's not call it a bad experience. It's a damn trauma. It's something that can destroy the way that you'll be for the rest of your damn life. We have to stop trying to pretty up the ugly, and that's the problem. Deal with it as it is, the three-headed monster that it is, and let's get it under wraps. That is a problem. This double-standard bullshit that we have going out right now with women are fragile, so they can't really be criminals right away in the eyes of society.
It is what it is,
and it needs to be dealt with regardless of who was the person involved. Women are just as bad sexual predators as men are. Because women know to bat their damn eyes and make it look like, well, really, I was going through something. My husband wasn't around. And you decided that a 15-year-old boy at 42 could give you some beneficial satisfaction. You decided to make a 13-year-old student a father.
Right.
And if I was that kid's mother, I would have kicked her ass. I would have. Just because he's a boy doesn't mean that he's any less a shot.
Well, I have to agree. To a great degree with what you're talking about there. I don't think that I don't like the fact that women get off more easily than men when it comes to male teachers preying on.
That's not what I said, Joe. What I'm saying is, men, the minute that somebody reports a rape or reports a shooting or reports a robbery and there's a male that was named, society immediately goes in to zoom in and grab that man and get ready for prosecution. When it comes to a female being able to do something that society deems as a male's mastermind, okay, they try to find excuses before they actually prosecute that person as a woman. There are certain things. They don't like to look at an older woman with a child, sexual situation right away. First, they're going to go and have a little board meeting to explain the details or get the facts, okay? That's the first thing. Then they're going to be like, really? I've known her for so long. Really? She's a docile-mannered person. The ones, you know, the still waters run deep situation, very true. And it's pretty dangerous.
Well, look,
because
I mean,
the ones that you don't expect to do it is the ones that will do it quicker.
Mm-hmm.
ever thought a priest would be a sexual predator? Whoever thought that? But yet, what do you hear over and over again when it comes down to all of these child rapes that are being exposed later on in the archdiocese? Why? Because that's a religion that removed the God-given right to a person to have human needs in order to lead a church. And where did that rule come from? It didn't come from the Bible. That rule came from people who probably have hypersexual fantasies and want to make sure they don't give into temptation around anyone. You've got to be kidding me. Where you'll sit there and tell a boy who was molested to take it like a man. Where they'd rather beat up the assailant in private rather than have that secret come out.
Mm-hmm.
This boy needs to understand that he was a victim, and he needs to get help as a victim. The same way they have all of these open outreach services for a female victim, same goes for a male victim.
You know, there's only one, as far as I know, one outreach center or one counseling center for men for who are victims of domestic violence in particular, whereas I think just about every state has a center for women. Because they don't take into consideration the importance of men's feelings. That's the way our society is.
You're right, Joe. Hence the problem, or the continuation of the problem. Hence the problem. And our men, these men are growing up to become predators, to become assailants, to become rapists. The lines are blurred. The lines of sacredness in a father and child, like I said, if you are a victim of incest, that's what you were taught, that there is no line to draw, that blood relations are not sacred when it comes to matters of sex, that sex is not something to do in love or in intimacy. Sex is a conquest game. Couple that with peer pressure. Couple that with all these modern technological drugs that are being given to make a person do what you want them to do.
You've probably done the research on this. Confirm this for me, Katie. Is it true that 50% of all school kids in below the age of, was it 14 or so, that 50% of kids are taking some sort of ADHD drug or some sort of other drug?
Oh, yes.
I mean prescription drugs.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, okay. It is. Yes, it is, and it's sad.
Well, it's dangerous. It's sad and
dangerous. And you know something? That goes against our law, interfering where they don't belong, okay? Our government telling our kids, guess what? You don't have to worry about your parents. Just come see me. We'll do it. But guess what? If it goes wrong, you're on your own. Because we're going to have to contact your parents to get permission to treat you for it. However, we'll keep your confidentiality when you get here.
Yeah, also with regards to sexual activity, I think it's part of the government. I think it's the federal government policy now that a child can get sexual counseling without having to notify their parents. And
abortion, birth control, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So the government's trying to take control over everything.
And here we go again, once again, exposing them to adult things with a half-full arsenal, sending them out into a war, and here we go. You men, for society generationally long, okay, have been given big-time wars to fight with half the arsenal loaded in your life journey, okay? You guys are out there. You're supposed to be husbands from the days of farming. You're supposed to go out there, acquire land, get your family together, be married, produce an income, generate a whole new whatever, have a bride-to-be or a bride already in place, but you don't know a damn thing, really, because you weren't allowed to have the full balance teaching and preparation of experience before going out there to take on this big stuff. And guess what? Now that you're out there, you better know what you're doing if adversity should come up. And don't cry about it, because big boys, like you said, don't cry.
Yeah. And men, and another thing, too, men seem to embrace this particular type of conditioning because that's the way brainwashing is. They make the people who are the victims also the perpetrators of the continuation of this particular brainwashing. And I've talked to men over the years, and I don't argue with men about it anymore. If they want to continue to be put into their square hole, you know, then I'm not, who am I to say after a while, you know, you shouldn't. I mean, I'll give my own two cents. But if they want to continue to do that, they, you know, I'm not going to fight the brainwashing that's been heaped upon them for, you know, for generations. Because I know what it takes to try to wake up. It takes a lot, you know, and you fight it because you don't want to think that the information you've been given from your parents is wrong.
My question on that one is, isn't the way it's supposed to work is your parents have a certain obligation at a certain point in time to teach you what they can, and then when you get out there, you take what you've learned and you build on it with your own way of being. There are plenty of things in my upbringing that, as much as I understand some of the reasons why it was done, I wouldn't repeat that garbage on my children.
Well, that's after you reach a certain age of consciousness where
right.
you realize that what society's been teaching you, what your parents have been teaching you, just doesn't work. So once
it would have been done differently.
Yeah.
Listen, how long do you remember being told that you came from a stork?
Well, until I was about 6 or 7, I guess. I don't
know. Uh-huh. My mother has 7 children, and to this day she acts like she's never touched a man.
Oh, well.
You know, he comes from a quiet culture, though, but you know what I mean? It's like, you know, I don't teach my children the birds and the bees from Birds and the Bees.
Mm-hmm.
I do not. Because when they go out in the world, there's not a soul out there that's going to pull anything a bird or a bee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I teach them the way that I knew it to be, how I learned it, and how they're going to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud to say that my children are not sexually active yet. So that's one thing. And they're not in a rush to be part of the peers either.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that there won't be that one day when that one person may make them believe that they're ready to do so, but at least they're informed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the way that I was understood it to be was that, you know, once the lights went off, that you just had a baby. Or if you open up the door, there's going to be a bundle there.
Mm-hmm.
With a bag wrapped up, saying congratulations, it's a boy.
Yeah, oh, proud mama, yeah.
You know, there you go. So that's not the way that you want to send your children out into the big, mean, rough world.
Yeah, I happen to believe that you can teach a child anything in the raw, as long as you teach it to them in such a way that doesn't make the child feel upset. I think it's mainly the kind of feelings that parents have towards, let's say, for example, sex. That gets a child all uptight. I think you can tell a child, I think you can show a child anatomically correct dolls and stuff like this and say, well, this is what a man does, this is what a woman does, and they have pleasure doing it. And, you know, as opposed to trying to take out some sort of fairy tale Disney book and trying to sugarcoat it, you know, because you're implying that if you're trying to cover something up by sugarcoating it, that somehow it's, ooh, bad. And, you know, that gets set into the subconscious of a kid. You know, if you just say, Mom, a man and a woman get together, and under the covers, this is what they do, and you should reserve your particular sexual energy, son, for when the right one comes along. But sex is not dirty. Sex is not a dirty word. But you should just make sure that the situation is correct when
right.
it happens.
It's not
you know.
To be taken lightly either.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, that it should be with the right person. It should be something that not only that, this would stop not stop it, but it would make your children a lot more aware of where they are, where sexual predators don't have them as such an easy beeline.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if we remove the fascination of conquest from sex,
Right,
to try to run out there and make that the grand prize of life.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be so fascinated with having to have it and doing whatever they have to do it. But with regards to these male victims and this stupid society's rule of what real men are, real men don't have to beat their wives to get their wives' attention.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more on that because, again, it's a burden on a man's soul in order to try to prove to himself, his family, and the woman that he's chosen that he's this man, you know? So, but if you relieve yourself of that particular burden, then, you know, you don't worry about whether or not this particular woman, what she thinks of you, because you know you're performing what's rational as opposed to trying to prove to her that you're doing or becoming somebody or are somebody that you really don't want to be. So, you know, I wish more men would wake up. I wish more women would wake up because men and women need each other, you know. And we're really at a great divide nowadays, and I wish we would get together more often.
You are absolutely correct. And I believe, like I said, everything that Al Tariq and you have discussed tonight definitely is a great starting point to change the cycle. And I think while we're living and breathing, we still can do that. Like you said, Joe, you said something a little earlier. You don't put your 2 cents in on the brainwashing anymore. But guess what? As long as they're in your vicinity, as long as they can be a danger to you, as long as there's a kid that can pass by this person and be poisoned by whatever they have to do, you keep putting your 2 cents in. They may ask them if they're not listening, but they're hearing you.
Yeah, I hope so.
That's what you can do. That's what you can do. That's what we can do. We can't do more than what we're given the capacity to do. But we must continue to use what we have to the fullest capacity. And that's the thing. You see a child, you let them know. Like you said, Joe, you're teaching a child, be it with anatomically correct dolls or through other ways of showing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these children walk by because all they have is one way of being taught.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these kids do what they do because their self-esteem is shot because nobody took the time to show them that they have another way.
Yeah, that's true.
You have another way. Men, you have another way. Women, that'll be tomorrow. We definitely have to step up and do our part in offsetting the years of brainwashing, as you brought up, Joe. Because brainwashing, as much as it sounds like something that you'll laugh at in a sci-fi movie, it really is a bitch.
Oh, well, look, you don't have to. You don't have. See, most people think of brainwashing as if they see a movie, they think of it as the Korean brainwashing, where you might have had a Chinese water torture, or you might have had Chinese guards or Chinese officials just
electroshock therapy.
Yeah, trying to ram information down you. The Manchurian Candidate, things like this.
Yes, I remember that movie very well. No, follow suggestive thinking, suggestive selling, and things to that effect. Yes. Somebody can actually start to believe another person's crap. Victims do it all the time. Victims do it all the time. When a victim is standing there holding you down and taking every ounce of your intimacy, your privacy, and telling you, no, you ain't shit, nobody's ever going to want you. Nobody's going to believe you. I'll kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that becomes a reality in your head until somebody can break the brainwash.
Yeah. Do you know there's a show that I was on, and there a woman called in, and we were talking about responsibility, male responsibility, female responsibility. And this woman said that she was molested by her uncle, for a number of years. And she said that the other person on the show, she said, do you feel any kind of responsibility about that? And she says, yeah, I feel I'm mainly responsible for what happened to me. And then we had to chime in, and we had to say, wait a minute. If you're about 6 years old, 7 years old, how do you get to feel responsible for what an adult has done to you? But that's the result of brainwashing. That's somebody telling you you're worthless, you're not worth a damn. If it weren't for you, I wouldn't be in this bedroom with you and stuff like this, and people believing it. Because you're young.
Yeah. She wore a little too many cute pink lace dresses that week. Her ribbon in her ponytails were a little too seductive. Get the hell out of my face with that garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The fact that some grown-ass man has to be attracted to a prepubescent child should tell you something about that man. Okay, there is nothing. Well, what about the fact that there was a damn old-ass fart married to a wife and molesting his 15-month-old toddler? What exactly could her love's pampers have turned on in his penile?
Yeah.
What exactly turns a man on about, or a woman on, about somebody that is 2 decades their junior?
Mm-hmm.
What exactly turns a person on about newborn births? You have to be a sick individual with some deep deviance.
Oh, yeah, you've got to have a personality disorder. You have to have some sort of emotional trauma yourself in order to think something like that. That might be the result, too. I mean, the guy in his youth may have had something happen to him, and because he's a man, he may have figured, look, I can't tell anybody because they'll think of me as a pussy. And, you know, I don't want to walk around having people either feel sorry for me, feel pity for me, or think of me as a pussy and stuff like this. Again, that's the burden of being a man who is taught to be a real man. And he may have taken it out on, you know, the poor victim, 6 years old, 7 years old, because of that.
Well, it's been one intriguing discussion tonight with two very powerful men. And let me say this to you. Real men out there that are listening, real men cry. Real men feel fear. Real men feel pain. Real men get traumatized and acknowledge it. Real men can come forth. And the ones that molested you, they're the trash and the cowards and the pussies and all the other stuff that's out there. So put that garbage on them. We as a village have to come forth and let these people know that it's okay to be human. And I do thank you for joining me tonight, Joe. Thank you, Al Tariq, very much for your input. I will be continuing part two tomorrow, where the effects of society ruined relationships, the family structure, and other things that are necessary for a man to have in place. So join me tomorrow night at 10:30 for part two. Until then, everyone be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference, and I will talk to you then. God bless. Thank you, guys.
Take care, Katie. Take care, Al Tariq.
Take care. You too.
Bye-bye.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.